Good to be here with you this morning. Last week we heard the first installment of the Holy Spirit, and Pastor Bevan preached that word, great word. So we continue on the importance of Holy Spirit. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege of sharing about the third person of the Trinity, the person of Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we know that your hunger and your desire is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to lift him up, to make him real to each one of us. Pray, Lord, that you'll give us listening ears, understanding hearts. Our hearts are ready to receive, Father. But we want to go from this place not just being hearers of your word, but doers of your word. We pray this, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm sure many of you, like me, was brought up in a traditional church. Any traditional church people here? X? The only time I heard the name Holy Spirit, as far as I can remember, is when I got baptized in water. Baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. You see, we are living in the age of Holy Spirit. In Old Testament times, for nearly 4,000 years, God the Father worked in the forefront. Behind in the shadow was Jesus and the Holy Spirit. In New Testament times, Jesus came to the forefront, and in the shadow was God the Father and Holy Spirit. But after Pentecost, Holy Spirit came to the forefront. Over 2,000 years now. Now God the Father and Jesus in the shadow of the person of Holy Spirit. The Father and the Son are manifesting through Holy Spirit. We are living in the age today of Holy Spirit. He is not a doctrine. He is not an experience. He is a person. He is a person. Many years ago, Holy Spirit, God said to me, recognition of the Holy Spirit as a person brings the quickest response. And you'll find out why in a moment. And so this morning, I want to share with you about the promised helper. And Jesus said in John 14, verse 16 to 18, and I will pray the Father. This is Jesus praying to the Father. And he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you. Notice this, he dwells with you and will be in you. He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. How? Through the Holy Spirit. And the word helper doesn't just mean to come alongside and console you and say, yeah, understand, yes, I can see you're going into problems, yes, I see what's happening. No, it doesn't mean that. The word helper comes from the Latin word fortis, and it means brave. He puts courage into you and I. He empowers us to cope with the changes and the struggles and the battles of life. And if you're going through a struggle right now, if you're going through a battle right now, remember, Holy Spirit will stand alongside you and impart into you divine strength in you, where he will say to you, hey, listen, you can do it. You can do it. I'm here to give you strength. You can do it. You can do it. You can take courage. I've put courage into you to give you that breakthrough that you're looking for. You know, the Apostle John, he had his own distinctive title for Holy Spirit. He called him the Paraclete. The Paraclete. Jesus said in John 14, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Paraclete, that he may abide with you forever. Isn't that great news? Abide with us forever. And there are two Greek words that describe the word another, heteros and allos. Heteros means another of a different kind. In Galatians 1, 6 to 9, Paul strongly warned that if anyone preached another gospel of a different kind to that which was already preached to them, let him be accursed. Paul was very strong. There's only one gospel. There's only one good news, and that is Jesus Christ came to this world to die on the cross for us. So, for instance, if you're eating an orange and I say to you, would you like another fruit? And I gave you an apple. That would be another fruit of a different kind. The second Greek word for another is allos, which means exactly the same, no different. If I gave you an orange and I said, would you like another orange? That means I've given you another of the same kind. When Jesus said, I pray and ask the Father and he will give you another comforter, that word another means exactly the same as Jesus. Jesus said, I'm here with you. Holy Spirit will be here with you. I love you. The Holy Spirit will love you in exactly the same way. I taught you. I guided you. I led you. The Holy Spirit will teach you in the exact same way that I taught you. That's why this promise is amazing, tremendous. Jesus said, I'm going to heaven, and he, the comforter, will come in my place and carry out my ministry in the same way and even in a greater measure. Now, this word helper, parakletos, in John 14, verse 16, is found in 1 John 2, verse 1, where it says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And the word advocate is parakletos, which means helper. And Jesus was the helper, the paraclete, to his disciples while he was here on earth. And he was about to go to heaven. And so he was going to send someone exactly like him. So what Jesus is basically saying is this. Just as I have been with you, so Holy Spirit is going to be with you. Isn't that amazing? In John 16, verse 7, and this is Jesus talking. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth. In other words, in our vernacular, I'm fair dinkum about this. When I say it is profitable, good, expedient, and advantageous to you that I go away, because if I do not go away, the comforter, look at the names, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby, will come to you, notice the next line, in close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. So it's to your advantage. Peter, it's to your advantage. John, it's to your advantage. Thomas, it's to your advantage that I go away. Remember, Jesus in the flesh could only be in one place at one time. But Holy Spirit can be everywhere, everywhere, at any time. Because wherever you go, that's where he is. Because he's not only with you, but he's in you. Important point. When God created mankind, he created mankind for fellowship. Fellowship. Created Adam and Eve. The Bible says in the cool of the day, he walked in fellowship with them. Can you imagine that amazing scene? God's walking and talking and fellowshipping with Adam and Eve. Then the mountaintop, Moses on Mount Sinai, he fellowshiped with Moses. Then in the tabernacle that Moses built between the wings of the cherubim, I will meet you there. He met mankind in the tabernacle. Then when Solomon built the temple, he again met mankind in that tabernacle. But the ultimate divine intention of God was to infuse mankind with himself, to make his home in us. Church, we are the most unique, privileged people on the whole earth. You are so privileged. You're so unique. You're privileged because Holy Spirit not only comes to you, but he comes in you. He wanted to dwell with the ones he created to have fellowship and pour out his love into. And the word paraclete means someone who is called alongside you to help. But to call for what purpose? Why is he called to you, to our side? To guide us, to direct us, to counsel us, to strengthen us, to give you the ability to make right decisions, to show you how to love, show you how to pray for the sick, show you how to say no. But not only that, but also to comfort you. But the word comfort doesn't mean there, fuzzy bear, let me pat you on the back. The word comfort means to enable you to stand on your own two feet and face life without fear. You can face life without fear. And here's something to think about. If you and I learn to be honest before him and say, Holy Spirit, I'm struggling. Please help me. Give me victory in this area in my life. You know, the devil tells you you're no good. He keeps saying to you, you've done it again. Look, you thought you won that. You've done it again. You're a loser. The devil keeps telling you, you can't break that habit. That's what he said about me. He said that to me. You can't break that smoking habit. I remember a preacher saying to me, smoking won't get you to hell, but you sure smell like you've been there. I thought, that's encouraging. But Holy Spirit says, don't you know I'm your helper? I'm the one that can help you whenever you need help. I'm here right alongside you. Right alongside you. Jude 1 verse 24 tells us, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before his presence of his glory with exceeding joy. This is what the helper will do for you. He'll keep you from stumbling. He'll present you faultless before God. You know what the Holy Spirit is waiting for? He is waiting for you and I to sit down with him and fellowship with him with the promise that he will lead us into all truth, guide us, show us things to come, help us to remind things that have been said. That's his purpose. That's what he wants to do for each one of us. But remember this, he won't initiate. He won't initiate, but when you initiate, he will come right there to help you. And if you want to know what real success is all about, it's about yielding to him to lead you to accomplish all that God has purposed and planned for your life. Eye hath not seen, nor heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man all that God has prepared for those that love him. But he has revealed it to us by his Spirit. There's things he's prepared for you. You know what they are? Are you curious enough to find out what they are? I am. Can you remember? This is a challenge to me as I was preparing. Can you remember the last time you acknowledged him? You said, Holy Spirit, I appreciate you. I love you. I love you. Please come and direct my path. Help me. Help me to be more like Jesus. Here's another point. In Philippians 1 verse 19, Paul wrote, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Jesus Christ because he makes Jesus real to us. And the Greek word for supply that Paul used has great meaning. It goes back to the golden age of Athens, where the people, they loved their productions, they loved their dramas, they loved their plays, the production play with their chorus line, the actors, the elaborate costumes, the rehearsals. It was very big and very expensive. And it was the custom for the wealthy citizens of Athens to pay and supply all that was needed to make that play or that production successful. And this action on their part was called epikleregia. This was the word that Paul used when he meant not just supply, but Holy Spirit will supply above an abundant supply, over and above, over and above. As those wealthy citizens cover the total cost of the production, so God gives you and me a constant supply. Church, a constant supply of Holy Spirit. In John 3:34, God gives the Spirit without limits. There's no limit to His supply. You can't exhaust that supply. And God supplies His Spirit to us to play our part in life, to furnish it with everything we need to be successful and to arm us with everything that we need to live a life of victory in this world. In Ephesians 3:20, now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we dare ask or think, according to the power, the dunamis that works in us, the ability, the efficiency, and the might of God, the Holy Spirit that works in us. You see, it's not the Father's generosity that it's lacking. It's often our believing. Do we really believe? That's a challenge. Do we really believe that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I dare ask, think, according to the power, Holy Spirit's power, the dunamis power that works in me? You see, God made available to every born-again Christian who receives His Holy Spirit the following. Notice on the screen, supernatural power, supernatural supply of the Spirit, supernatural guidance, supernatural help, supernatural strength, supernatural peace, and supernatural protection, over and abundant, without limit. Amazing. Amazing. We are amazing people. Unique, unique people. In James 4, verse 5, it says, or do you suppose that the Scripture is speaking to no purpose? It says, the Spirit, whom He has caused to dwell in us, yearns over us. Can you imagine that? And He yearns, that's God, yearns for the Spirit to be welcome with a jealous love. And that word yearns means to long for intensely and consistently. That means Holy Spirit is yearning for our attention. He's yearning for your attention, my attention. He's yearning for our fellowship. And this verse reveals the intense yearning Holy Spirit has to have you and me entirely for Himself. It shouldn't surprise you, because He sealed us, He sanctified us, He set us apart, and He is our source of power. Holy Spirit is so much in love with us that He wants more, more, more of us. Every day He wants our time, our attention, our devotion, our fellowship. The idea is that Holy Spirit loves us with such passion, and I keep getting this word in my heart as I was preparing, dare to believe, dare to believe. He loves us with so much passion that He cannot bear any other love for any other things that may come between Him and us, Him and myself. He loves us with so much passion. He loves you. God so loved the world. Holy Spirit so loved the world. And so there's three things that I want to leave with you what Holy Spirit is doing in your life right now. Dare to believe it. First thing, did you know the Holy Spirit is a goal? He's a goal for your life. Did you know that? He has a goal for your life. And that goal is to make you more like Jesus. That's his goal. How? He is focused on changing us, empowering us, conforming us to the image of Christ, and helping us to fulfill God's plan for our lives, the things that he has prepared for those that love him. I love this verse in Mark 3, verse 13 to 14. Jesus was on the mountains. He called to himself those that he himself wanted. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke, it says he spent all night in prayer before this happened. He spent all day on the mountain and he called to himself those he himself wanted, and they came to him. That's important that we come to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them out and to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses, to cast out demons. What would you say would be the most important line in that verse? Anyone? What would you say? Don't you? That they might be with him. That they might be with him. See, unfortunately, we, particularly as tongue-speaking Pentecostals, and I'm a fully tongue-speaking Pentecostal, chandelier swing, wall-climbing Pentecostal, coming from a Brethren Baptist background. But we focus more on his hands than on his face. Give me, my name is Jimmy. God wants us to focus on his face. Focus on him. Focus on him. And I believe this verse applies to Holy Spirit as well. When we spend quality time with Holy Spirit and really get to know him intimately, remember, he's exactly like Jesus, then you and I will become more like Jesus. And that's the Holy Spirit's goal for you. That's the Holy Spirit's goal for me. John 16, verse 14 says, he will glorify me. This is Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it or disclose it to you. And the word glory means to hold in honor, have utmost respect and honor. And that's what Holy Spirit has for Jesus. But how? This is the question. How does Holy Spirit glorify Jesus? How? Through what he does through you and me. When we walk in obedience, Jesus is honored. When we love one another, when we walk in unity, when we encourage one another, when we feed the hungry, when we desire earnestly spiritual gifts, when we worship in spirit and truth, when we pray, when we read the word, when we lead people to Christ, when we heal the sick, when we desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized with the Holy Spirit. These acts glorify Jesus in a magnificent way as we become more like Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, so it says, so all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, next line, who's the Lord? Who is the Spirit, Holy Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed in his glorious image. Holy Spirit is changing us. Let him. Dare to believe. This is the time to just have a moment reflection and pray. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus through me. May your influence in my life bring glory to Jesus, and together we glorify you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, in partnership. I'm in partnership with you, Holy Spirit. Glorify Jesus. Amen. The second thing I want to leave with you this morning, the importance of being sensitive and know his voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. The word know means recognize in the Greek. You know, many years ago, Holy Spirit gave me a picture of this. Very rarely does the Holy Spirit speak to your mind. Very rare. He doesn't add to the confusion. He speaks to your spirit man. And he showed me that there's a highway between my spirit and my soul. And that highway can at times be cluttered by fear, worry, anxiety, low self-image, low self-worth, unbelief, sin. And so Holy Spirit speaks to my spirit, but it may not reach my mind, my understanding, because of the clutter. And if Holy Spirit picks out things in that on that highway that needs to be removed, then let's remove it. Take it out of the way in Jesus' name. You see, a sensitive person will always walk closer with him than a talented and a gifted person. The more sensitive you become, the more clearly you will hear his voice. In Isaiah 30, verse 21, your ears will hear a word behind you when he says, this is the way. Walk in it. This it. Left to the right. This is the way. Choose the way I've chosen for you. You know, imagine walking with Jesus on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. You've been walking 4 or 5 hours, walking, and never said a word. Walking along, never said a word. Never talked at all. Never said a word whatsoever. But that's how it is when we don't communicate with Holy Spirit. He's always with us. He's always with us. Wherever you go. He's been to places that we would be sometimes being too embarrassed to say where it was. But he was there saying, this is not the place for you. He's always with us. And God is saying, I want you to learn to communicate with me. Holy Spirit, communicate. He's saying, communicate. Talk to me. Spend time with me. Get to know my voice. God the Father has given Holy Spirit the responsibility of leading us, guiding us, and even warning us away from certain people, places, and circumstances. That's his task. That's what he's called to do. But it means listening and starts with O, obeying. You can listen, but let's obey as well. And let me say it in brackets, quickly. Quickly. Holy Spirit speaks through the Word. He speaks through his Word. He speaks through his prophecy. He speaks through dreams. He speaks through others. He speaks through circumstances. Many and varied ways in which the Holy Spirit is learning to recognize. And as you develop a sensitive ear, you'll learn to hear what he is saying. You know, about 3 weeks ago now, I rang up Wazza Warren. And I said, how's things going? He said, not too good. I want to come back to Geelong. He was in Melbourne Hospital. And I said to the nurse, I said, I want to go back to Geelong. She said, we can't get a bed for you. And he wasn't too happy about that. And suddenly he hears a still small voice. Ring your daughter. So got in touch with his wife, rang the daughter, and within 2.5 hours, he had a bed at Epworth Hospital. The next day, 10 o'clock in the morning, he was back in Geelong. Sensitive. Last week I was in Colac ministering. This man came forward for prayer. I invited people for prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, would you like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? He said, yes. As I was about to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I heard that still small whisper, he's not saved. He's not saved. So I said, the sinner's prayer. I didn't say, hey, you a Christian. I just said the sinner's prayer. And he repeated after me. Then I prayed for him and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Another lady came forward. And she said, I'm a Catholic. I've heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and I've always wanted it for years. I said, well, this is your day. You can receive. So as I was praying for her and she was receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit again whispered in my ear, tell her that her heavenly father is not like her earthly father. And I said, your heavenly father is not like your earthly father. She began to cry. I said, does that mean anything to you? She said, yes. And that's true for us too. Your heavenly father is not like your earthly father. He's very patient. He's very kind. Very loving. Hallelujah. When was the last time? This message is pointed to me first, but I have to present it to you. When was the last time you sat with no requests, no demands, but just a whisper, Holy Spirit, I miss you. Draw me after you. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4. Draw me after you, and we will run together. See, that's what he longs for. That's what he wants, to be loved, to be pursued, not because of what he can do for us, but because of who he is. He's the third person of the Trinity, Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. He wants you and I to pursue him. The third thing I want to leave you this morning is Holy Spirit equips us with power. Acts 1:8. Jesus said, but you shall receive power, dunamis, ability, efficiency, might of Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, even Australia. But I ask the question, witness about what? You should be witness unto me, but witness about what? Witness about others, to tell others about Jesus? Yes, but that's not the number one purpose. To speak in tongues? Yes, that happens. But that's not the number one purpose. The number one purpose to be a witness is to, the purpose is to be more like Jesus. That's the purpose of the baptism. The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is your life, my life becomes a living witness to the fact that the risen, ascended, glorified Lord lives in me by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the purpose. And I say to those who haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, this is the purpose for you. He wants your life to become a living witness to the fact that the risen, ascended, glorified Lord lives in you and me. And if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, remember, it's a gift from your loving Heavenly Father. You know, salvation was the gift to the sinner. If you're giving your life to Jesus, you're no longer a sinner. You were, but you're no longer. You're saved. You're a child of God. And God's gift to you was salvation. Once you're saved, he has a gift for those that belong to him called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus called it the promised gift of a loving Heavenly Father. It's a sign. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will speak in new tongues. And if you believe in Jesus, why not receive this gift today? This sign promised today. Today is your day to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to come forward at the altar call. Yes, I want that promised gift in Jesus' name. I finish with these thoughts. You know, Holy Spirit, I've discovered, doesn't come for a crowd. He doesn't come for applause. He comes for hunger. He comes for hunger. He is drawn to hungry people, hearts that cry out, come, Holy Spirit. To be his friend, You must welcome him. He's waiting for your invitation. He waits for the moment when we say, Holy Spirit, I give you the key to come in and take over. Rearrange what you like. Move out what doesn't please you. That this temple that you dwell in is totally taken over by you. Lock, stock and barrel. And if we're willing to turn down the volume of the world to listen for that still small voice, he will teach you things, show you things to come, guide you into all truth, cause you to recall to mind things that have been said. He'll begin to nudge you in the supermarket and say, speak to that person over there. He will stir your heart in the night with a name to pray for. He will show you how to love someone you couldn't love before. These encounters will be endless. That's what makes the Christian life so unpredictable and yet so exciting. Christian life should be exciting. Should be exciting. I'll leave you with this quote from A.W. Tozer. If you ever see a book by A.W. Tozer, buy it. It's worth buying. He made this comment. If we think of Holy Spirit, as so many do, as merely a power or influence, our constant thought will be, how can I get more of it? I want more of that power. I want more of that power. And I find that that's a danger at times with God's people. I want more power. I want more power. But if we think of him in the biblical way as a divine person, our thoughts would rather be, how can he have more of me? How? Ask yourself how. I'll tell you, surrender. All. Surrender. All. All to Jesus. Be willing to be made willing. And you will be surprised what God can do in and through you. And bring glory to Jesus. Holy Spirit will bring glory to Jesus through what he does in and through you and I. In Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for sending in answer to the prayer when Jesus prayed. Father, you sent Holy Spirit to us to guide us, to lead us, to show us things to come, to help us to know how to become more like you, Jesus, in our walk, in our talk, in our attitudes, in everything that we do, that our lives bring honor and glory to his name because of what you have done in our lives. I pray your blessing, Father God, in each one of us. Let us go from this church, Father God, Reside Church, not just hearing your word, Father God, but saying, Holy Spirit, help me now how to put it into practice, how to outlive what was spoken this morning. We pray this, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And just while every head is bowed, every eye closed, I want to give the opportunity. Maybe there's some here, you're not sure if you've really given your life to Jesus, or maybe you had in the past, but you're not sure if you're walking close to him like you used to. You feel there's a bit of a distance between you and Jesus. But God is calling you back into right relationship with you. He loves you. In the Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us these sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if that's you, I want to give my life to Jesus again. Or I'm going to give my life to Jesus for the first time. If that's you, just while every head is bowed and every eye closed, just put your hand up right now and put it down. Let me see it. Anyone? Just put your hand up. Praise God. One person has. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Anyone? Just put your hand down. Anyone else? We're going to say a prayer for that person and maybe others who haven't put their hand up, but you want to put your hand up. Wanted to put your hand up, but you're a little bit scared. We're going to say this prayer. And church, could you help me as we pray this prayer together? That person, if you say this prayer after us, it's so important. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the cross and dying for me, shedding your precious blood for the forgiveness of my sins. I repent of my sins. I yield myself to you. I believe and confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead for the forgiveness of my sins. Come into my life. Be Lord of my life. From this moment on, help me to live my life for you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.